You're listening to Melissa Unscripted. I'm your co-host, Dave Wilson from Tiger Moth Creative. We created this podcast to bring listeners helpful perspectives, all kinds of real estate experiences, from the enlightening to the humorous. Along the way, we'll branch out on related topics, and we will definitely chase a random squirrel or two. With me always is my friend and co-host, Melissa Greer, a nationally ranked real estate agent.
Hey, Melissa.
Dave, this is fun. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, it's been a while. Time to start a new season.
Season four.
Is season four?
Yeah, I think it is. I think we missed a year or something because I don't feel like we've been doing it that long. But season four, Melissa Unscripted.
Time flies when you're getting old, at least for me.
I know. I didn't think I'd be doing the podcast anymore because after Landon and Sarah were here as our first-time homebuyers and they were going to get me a gig on a reality show, I didn't even think I'd be living in Greensboro anymore.
Well, you know, I thought they were going to just take over the whole podcast.
Well, maybe they will.
Maybe.
There's still time. Well, do you want me to introduce our special guest or do you want to introduce?
Who? Nancy Vaughn?
Nancy Vaughn, our mayor?
Our mayor? Is she here today?
We're pretty excited.
Who lives in a reality show?
Yeah. We are pretty excited to have Nancy Vaughn join us for the second time, and she's the mayor of Greensboro, North Carolina. We are so excited because everything happening in this city, I feel like she has really been a strong force in the positive.
And we need an update. We need to update what's going on in the city. There's a lot going on.
A lot going on. So, Nancy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
And we're just going to hand the microphone over to you, and you just take over.
Okay? Oh, my goodness.
Dave and I are going to step outside. Now, tell us, since you were here before, everything that you can about what's happened in Greensboro and how it's different.
Oh, there are some great things happening in Greensboro. 531 days after Tanger closed, it finally opened because it closed before it ever opened. And we have had world-class shows. We've broken two Broadway records, one for Wicked and one for Hamilton.
Well, what records did we break?
Attendance. Attendance
really?
Over a season. So,
okay. I missed that. That's cool.
It was about 66,000 people went through each production, and it was really great. And
that's a lot.
It is. And what it has done for our local hotels and restaurants and shops is really pretty amazing. There is really not a restaurateur who I talk to who has not seen greater business. And Melissa, I know we have a lot of the same friends in the business.
And I can't get a reservation. Of course, you know me, I'm not a planner.
Really?
I'm always last minute. But if I'm going to a show, I usually forget that I'm going and when it is. But I can't get a reservation usually anywhere downtown for any performance. It's unbelievable. And then I ran into a good friend of mine, Lane Schiffman. Mm-hmm. He said that because they sponsored, I think, or do
they do?
He said they made reservations at the beginning of the Broadway season for every night that they had tickets at like the Undercurrent. Shout out to Wes Wheeler, of course. But you know, that's the thing, is it is amazing. I mean, like the restaurants and bars that have opened since the pandemic in Greensboro, how many? I mean, it seems like a lot.
You know, when Durham opened DPAC, they had five restaurants downtown. Pre-COVID, they had 52. Mm-hmm. We've got 12 in active negotiations right now. So it is really exciting. There might be more alternatives for us to eat. You know, Sundays, it's really hard to find a place to go eat. But it's great to see how it's activated downtown. Even for the matinees, downtown has become a destination. And I think it's a destination because of Tanger and the great park system that we have.
Well, let's not get too far into the restaurants, because I think later in this season, we're actually going to talk about a lot of the new restaurants,
too.
So let's...
Great.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like we'll have some to talk about that we don't know about.
Correct. Exactly. That's what I'm excited about, the new stuff. Yeah. Yes.
No, that's good. And I've heard that, too. So it's interesting. I was over... I love the redone sculpture at LaBauer Park. Mm-hmm. What was that about? Because it's so vibrant. It looks so much different. But is it different? I just think the colors are so bright.
Oh, the fishing net.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's new. Mm-hmm. And they've actually ordered two because the first one faded. It wasn't supposed to fade. But, yeah, the colors are much more vibrant. I noticed that today. Yeah. It looks great all the time.
I think, I love the first time when I went to Wicked and I walked out of the theater and I looked to the left and that sculpture was lit up over the park at night. It felt like you are in this wonderful... I've always said Greensboro is a wonderful city, but you really walked out and you felt like this is a really amazing that we live here and the city's transformed into
and
this.
She is a global artist, Janet Eckelman, mm-hmm. who did that sculpture. And she has got installations in Sydney and Brazil and all other places. We are her only East Coast permanent installation. And so that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And then if you're in Tanger Center in the lobby, you'll see that sculpture on the ceiling that looks like discs.
It's not where the bar is.
Actually, I saw one of her sculptures in Boston, the first one I saw.
Eckelman?
It wasn't a permit.
Yeah, yes, that was just a temporary.
It was really cool. And then we got one. I was like, yes,
that
that's
is
awesome.
Very cool.
Yes.
So in Tanger, in the lobby, is a Cuban artist, Mabel Poblet. And we are one of her first U.S. installations. And it's really cool that we have got two global artists within a block of each other. I think
that's In Greensboro, North Carolina.
That's Carolina.
Awesome. Yep. That's awesome.
It is.
One thing the pandemic's done, I think, when I tour people around downtown, is the art is amazing just on the buildings, on the parking. Yeah, has that grown? Was there an initiative for that? Or what has happened to make that happen?
All the murals around town are really organic. The first mural that was done on the parking deck, that was actually a participatory budgeting project. But we have great muralists, and Marty Cotis, a local developer, who's bankrolled a lot of it. But we probably have more murals per capita than most cities.
No, I had friends down from Richmond not long ago, and they saw like one or two of the murals. I'm like, yeah, they're everywhere. And like, show me all of them. And we drove all around showing all the art in Greensboro. It was really cool to be able to do that.
It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Now, Marty Cotis, when I tour people through, he created a midtown in Greensboro, right?
Which
I think is fascinating that as someone who grew up here, it is really, it elevates the city so much, but when you see the art there and talk about how he literally created this concept of Midtown, mm-hmm. I think that's awesome.
It was interesting. He, he owns some buildings in Midtown, and he wanted to brand it, so he called it Midtown. And then other people, like 1618, mm-hmm. that they did 1618 Midtown. There's the apartment complex, which is now Midtown.
Mm-hmm. Other
the people
office,
bought
office
into
complex
it.
There too.
Yes.
That was and they renamed Midtown.
It was. I think it really gained credibility when buildings that weren't his started calling themselves Midtown in that footprint.
And everybody owned it.
Yeah, it's nice to see the way that has grown.
So, is there anything else going on in Greensboro right now that is really exciting or new?
Well, we had two tremendous job announcements. One is the Toyota battery manufacturing plant, which will be at the Greensboro Randolph Megasite. That was another global announcement. We will be their first battery manufacturing facility. Phase one has been announced. For people who follow our state budget, there was money in for a possible expansion into phase two, so we might hear an announcement pretty soon about that. And then, of course, out at the airport, Boom Supersonic Jets.
Yeah, we talked about that with Neil. Yeah,
yes,
that's cool.
That is really cool. And for people who live in Greensboro, you don't have to worry about them going supersonic over Greensboro.
Right.
You know, they're actually not allowed to go supersonic. You don't get that boom until they're over water.
That's what I heard. It's higher. You have to get higher and away.
Away from people.
So, to have HondaJet out there, they really set the standard. They've got those great personal jets. And now we have this possible Concorde-like plane, which will be smaller and less expensive. And both the Toyota and Boom bring really high-paying jobs. And we're focused on making sure that those jobs go to people who live in Greensboro and Guilford County. We're working with our workforce development office and with those manufacturers for upskilling people. We want to make sure that as we do incentives and we bring companies in, that we are actually the recipient of those good jobs.
Yeah.
What about the housing? That's what in our industry, we hear that all the time, is everyone's so concerned that there's not enough house, which I never thought I'd be in this business hearing this or worrying about it, but that we don't have enough inventory for what's coming.
So we have had a number of rezonings over the last 18 months, and it probably is about 6,000 housing units. Everything from affordable mm-hmm. housing to very upscale. Some of that is actually under being built right now. Others are held up a little because of supply chain. But we are seeing more rezoning applications come through that people from throughout the country are looking at building homes and developments right here in Guilford County. So I think we'll see that ease up. But as we all know, it takes a while to build a house.
Yeah.
And then to go along with the houses and the kids, the school bond that passed.
That was really pretty amazing. That was a county school bond. $1.7 billion. That might be one of the biggest bonds ever in this country. That was really huge, and it passed pretty resoundingly. The tax didn't pass. You know, there was that quarter cent tax that on a $20 on a $20 purchase, it would have added a nickel, I believe.
Which means when people come and visit and spend money, they help pay for it.
So 40% of the 40% of the money spent in our city are not spent by city residents. They're spent by others. So we would have had other people help us pay for our schools.
Now, is that something you can revisit later, like in another election? Can you read?
Well, that'll be a county decision, but okay. I'm sure they're going to come back because they're going to need some mechanisms to pay those bonds.
I think they didn't. I can say I don't think that it was clear.
I think you're right.
It would never make sense that one would pass without the other because. And I talk to people about this, and I don't understand. In fact, I admire anyone who could be in this kind of, your line of work, because it is hard to please everyone. I learn that every day. But I do think that no one would have voted against that tax because they're going to have to fund that bond that passed from something else that's going to cost probably more for only for local people, not for the tourists.
And that'll be property tax.
And
they just I see the timing of it is they just reassessed all our property values.
I like having people come in and help pay for things.
Yeah, it is a good thing.
I love for that to happen here in my home.
Yeah, that would be great.
I've never seen that happen. I'd love it. So it would make it a lot easier. But especially that was set up to do that, and I hope they do revisit it because when we have a reassessment, I know in the past when property values went up, and
they did.
I have to address this on this podcast because I know a lot of my clients have a lot of concerns about it. But the truth is it's good for your property value, tax values to go up because it shows that everything's heading in a healthy direction. But we're, what is it, Jill? It's this month we'll find it. When do we find out what the rate is?
The bills, I think, go out next week.
Okay. Is it going to be horrible for all of us?
Not for all, but, you know, our values did go up significantly. Yeah. I mean, we saw what things were selling for. Houses had not been reevaluated in 5 years. Mm-hmm. I think the county actually does that. I think they're going to change it to every 4 years. Yeah. But in the last 5 years, people's properties have increased significantly.
I would say exploded.
Yeah.
Well, even like where we're seeing now appreciation on a monthly basis. So I'm glad they are doing it less. Because I remember when I first got in real estate, they did every 8 years.
Yes. And that was really awful.
Oh, that was awful. But it is interesting. I hope, the thing is, and you probably can't share this, is the rate going to stay the same?
Well, so the county, so you can do a revenue neutral thing where you can lower the rate so people don't pay more than what they paid last year. The county actually kept the tax rate the same. So that means, you know, that their budget has appreciated significantly. For the city's budget, which I'm a little more familiar with, it added... We could have taken 11 cents away from the tax value. That didn't happen. It actually went up 8 cents. There were two of us who voted against the budget. I felt that was way too big of a tax increase.
But the thing is I do think I always try and keep an eye on the big picture. And I appreciate you voting against the increase because increases are hard on people in different socioeconomic levels. And I think gradual is always better than a big thing. It's easier to get used to something slowly. But the big picture is it's going to just continue to help this community. It is. So,
and you know, not to get too wonky.
Let's get wonky.
Okay, so our budget that just passed actually included any possible tax increase for our city bonds, which is not something that we've done before. We've always waited for bonds to pass and then... then add to the tax, property tax if we need to. Sometimes we can find other ways to pay for bonds without raising property tax. But this year, that was one of the things that I was against. They actually built these bonds in, and the people haven't voted for them yet. I hope they will. They're all really good bonds. One is an affordable housing bond.
Oh, that would be awesome. Can you tell us a little bit more
about so that? There's it's a $30 million affordable housing, and that what that will do is will help with first-time home buyers. We had a program called 100 Homes where first-time home buyers, depending on their income, could qualify for up to $10,000, and it would be given forgiven over a period of 5 years.
We need to make sure we tell Landon and Sarah that.
They would need to know this. It's important, but they may make a little bit too much money.
They may.
Well, so we do, I want to anyway, raise that income level up a little bit because I want to make sure that our police officers, firefighters, city workers, teachers can afford to live in the city. So I'd like to see us raise that to $15,000 to reflect what's going on in the real estate market. But that 100 homes is what we called it, and we did over 900, and that was really great to get these first-time buyers.
Yeah.
So that'll be in there. Permanent supportive housing is in there to help with our homeless population. Also, emergency funds to allow people to make repairs to their homes so they don't get worse and worse, and then they end up, you know, having the house fall apart. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of really good things in that bond.
It sounds necessary to me. I mean, especially because the homeless tend to gravitate to downtown because it just seems like that's normal in any city. And to have something that would actually help them while our downtown's growing so much, I think that goes hand in hand. But I'm gonna pay Nancy a compliment, and I always, you know how heart based I am. And one of the reasons Nancy and I are close, many reasons, but I had a first time home buyer that was doing a similar program, a first time home buyers program. And he works for the city, and we were closing on December 31st. And the whole thing with the first-time home buyers, there were some delays. Someone was out sick who worked there. Mm-hmm. And this guy, because of his situation, had one day that he had people to help him move, just one day. And his closing was getting delayed. And so, of course, you know me. I never mind. I'm desperate. I'll ask anyone for help. And I would want someone to ask me.
Well, and you weren't asking for help for yourself.
No, it's for somebody else.
But I just knew his situation. So I sent Nancy a text and said, call me when you can. She called and I explained the situation. She got this thing worked out. And this guy he was in tears at the closing. I think he reached out to you. I'm sure he did.
Yes.
I gave him your email. But this super sweet guy, wife, 3 kids. I mean, it was
unbelievable. Did you get a small army together to come and help move? Or?
Well, no, I just made sure they got the check-in time.
Yeah, she made sure it closed. He had all that lined up, but if it were delayed, he wouldn't have had anyone. She got it closed on New Year's Eve. And I'm telling you, our important mayor, with everything else she has to worry about, helped this guy. So I always think of that. I tell everyone
that. Thank you.
So thank you. But it also shows, I think that affordable housing is a key issue.
It is. It makes neighborhoods more stable. Mm-hmm. People take care of their properties better when they own it. So
it
I think it's a great
quality
program.
Of life. All of,
it is.
All around.
Yep.
What was the emergency fund you were talking about?
So that's part of the affordable housing, that if people have to make emergency repairs, let's say they need a roof repair, they can apply for some funding, because we know that if people ignore their roofs, that it can spread to other things. So it's pay me now, pay me later. Let's give them these emergency funds up front so they can preserve their house.
And it costs a lot less to do that up front too. Like how do people find out about that? How do you know the people who can take advantage of something like that?
So there's information on our website. You can go to www.greensboro-nc.gov and then just click on the neighborhood development link, and you can see the different programs that are available to people.
How about people who really don't think about using resources like that? And I'm guessing a lot of people who may need those resources don't necessarily. Is there, you know, when you go out to a house or like, you know, if police go to a house or emergency people go to the house, is it something they know
our code enforcement
would.
But, you know, sometimes it doesn't rise to the level of code enforcement because it might be a repair that's just occurred, or you can't tell from the curb that there is a problem. Mm-hmm. People are pretty creative, that they will call their churches can refer them to the city, mm-hmm. they ask friends, so the word gets out.
That's great. I never know how to tell people, and so this is helpful. We should put that in our show notes, web address.
We can do that.
I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this.
They are.
Absolutely.
You know, there'll be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people.
At least hundreds. But no, that's good. And so isn't there one more bond issue too?
Well, there's a transportation bond, there's a police facility bond, a fire facility bond, and then there's a parks and recreation bond, which is the largest one. It's $70 million. $20 million of that is for the Greensboro Science Center, and it's for one of the, I mean, they've done cool things. The thing is really cool. It's a biodome. It'll be one of the only ones. People out at the Science Center are absolutely amazing.
Dave and I love the Science
yes.
Center.
You know,
we've done their Skywild, and I think it's amazing that we have that here in Greensboro.
I grew up in the Durham area, and we had the Museum of Life and Science, and I thought that was great. I started taking my kids there, and then all of a sudden, Greensboro stepped up their game, and I think it's the best one in this state now.
Oh, you know, I remember when my boys were little, we would go there, and, you know, you'd see the dinosaur thing, and there'd be a petting zoo, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. You could be out in an hour or two. Now you could spend a whole weekend there.
And you can't. When I tour people around, and I know they have kids, I just pull in the parking lot, mm-hmm. and they're already saying, we'll live here.
One other thing about the Parks and Recreation Bond. Okay. There's $50 million for a new facility in East Greensboro on Gate City Boulevard, and it's where the Windsor Recreation Center is and Chavis Library. And we've had some architects come in and give us renderings, and it will be amazing. There will be a pool, a lazy river, an indoor track, an outdoor amphitheater. The fields will all be redone. There'll be medical facilities. There will be a library in there.
Wow.
It is absolutely beautiful. And the architecture is really, really cool. So it'll be one of the biggest public investments. And I think it's great that it's being done in East Greensboro.
Well, because I think the need for something like that in East Greensboro is so that's important, because
yes.
That would be a life changer for so many kids.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, for sure. Especially hot days like this.
Yeah.
I can see the lazy river.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I might be over there, Dave. Yeah. We should go and do a podcast.
I also wanted to, we talked about this beforehand, but you said they have a zip line over there now too? Not at the east one, but the one by the
Science Center just opened the zip line week before last, and you know, it brings you right over the pond, the lake, and then you get on another one and it brings you back to where you started. And it's really cool, and I really would like to do it in the fall when all the leaves are down, so you can really see what's around you.
And then you have to worry about ticks, because you know, I don't like ticks.
So my wife said
that is the only thing I can't believe.
I'm afraid of them. It's hard for me in the summer. I love to hike. I love all sorts of things, but in the summer, I'm just kind of staying inside.
So my wife said when she was little at Country Park, they had these big slides that came down the hill, and they used to get on wax paper and ride down them. Do any of y'all remember that?
I do. Not since I've moved here. Okay.
Paddle
that's
boats.
Pretty cool.
I remember paddle boats there. And
this would have been back in the early 80s.
That was before
yet.
My time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
That's right.
But I'll have to ask your wife how it was back in the olden days.
Yeah.
Sliding down
but they used
slide.
To get wax paper, and they would slide down the hills of Country Park heading down towards the pond.
Huh. Like not on a slide, but just on the hill?
No, on a slide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll have to look that up.
I'll have to look that up.
Yes. I need somebody else to not verify, but
to
talk
ask
about
some,
it.
Some people who were, you know, born after, like, before I was.
Okay.
Old people.
So, Nancy, I know you get this question all the time, but I'm going to ask it. Tell us your vision for Greensboro in the next few years. Like, in, say, 5 years from now, what do you see? And it doesn't have to be just downtown. It could be whatever.
Well, no, I mean, I see us being one of the most vibrant cities in the Southeast. You know, I don't want to compare myself to Raleigh or Charlotte. They're different. Mm-hmm. I don't want that mega growth and the traffic and prices that are out of control. I want to be the best Greensboro that we can be. We are going to fix our affordable housing issue. We are going to really parlay these great job announcements and make sure that we raise the quality of life for our residents, that they get a higher per capita income, that Greensboro is going to be the place to be. You know, I think in the next couple of months, you're going to see a what I call a quality of life announcement. It is the type of, let's see, virtual sports facility that many other cities have that involve...
Like an esports arena?
No. It actually might involve golf.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking
so
about.
So I think you might hear something about that in the next few months.
All right.
But you're going to see more announcements like that. So, Melissa, you know that I have my real estate license.
I did.
And I was trying to sell real estate and be mayor at the same time. And I was trying to figure out, what is the crazier job? Is it being mayor or is it this real estate market that we were in? And I realized that I couldn't have two crazy jobs. So I had to let one go.
I don't know. I'll tell you right now, that's the thing. Is the real estate's like the Wild West right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, people ask my opinion, and I don't mind saying this on the podcast. I used to have one. I just don't know anymore. We just have to try and navigate it. And I assume that's what you do in your job. You don't have all the answers, but you try and navigate it the best way you can for the people that you're serving.
Every single day is different.
Right.
Every person is different. So, I couldn't have two crazy jobs.
Well, listen.
I have one last question.
Good. Okay.
I don't know if you can answer or not.
Uh-oh.
I want a crazy mayor story. Like, has there anything happened in the past year or two? You're like, oh my God, I can't believe this.
Oh, wow.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, there are some crazy stories about, people who come to City Hall that are obviously, suffering from either a mental illness or an addiction. And I had a woman who said that she had just been elected mayor pro tem and she was reporting to work to be my assistant. And she was convinced that there, and this was not during an election, this was, so it was very difficult to try to speak to this woman and let her know that there wasn't an election and that she didn't have a desk in our office. And, we do have mental health workers in our building, so they were able to come and speak with her. But we have issues like that that happen quite a bit. We did have, we had a speaker from the floor who was insistent that people were living in her sewer lines and that at night they came up on an elevator and would walk around the city.
That was me.
I'm sorry. Were you naked this time? Or did you actually have clothes
on? It was a bad
on?
Dream.
Okay.
No, I think it's so funny. One of my favorite quotes from the show Designing Women that my mother told me about, because obviously I didn't watch it, I wasn't here, but is that, what's so great about the South is we don't hide our crazy people. We put them out on the front porch for everyone to enjoy. And I think that it's true. It's like when I work with people in an older neighborhood, I always say, now, if you're not okay with eccentric people, this isn't the place for you. Because there are people who, it's just, I think it adds character. And of course, I live in older, I might be the eccentric person I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, if you look around and don't see one, you're probably it.
Now, I would think that I rarely see them, but usually I know they're there. So anyway, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. Please come back again.
Oh, I'd love to.
Because we need to keep everybody, and you do know way more than we do about what's going on, obviously, which is good.
Lots of good things going on.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I'm excited.
Dave, do we have to go somewhere?
You have to go sell a house.
I'm gonna give it a shot.
You have to. It is by law with this podcast. At the end of each podcast,
that's right.
You have sold a house.
Well,
just about every podcast.
Thanks so much.
Well, thanks for coming along.
Thank you. This was
and
fun.
Thanks everybody for listening.
Best of luck.
Had a great time.
Come back soon. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Cue the music. Bye-bye. Bye. Melissa Unscripted is produced by Tiger Moth Creative, helping businesses and nonprofits leverage the power of their story. Find links and show notes at melissagreer.com, and so you'll never miss a show, subscribe to us on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And make sure you give us a good rating. That's it for now. See you next time.